I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished, I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. And you may have noticed Jim is not Tammy Hudspeth. And yet, he took the bull by the horns and got it done, and we really appreciate it. I want you to think about this scripture that Jim just read, because in years past we've read this scripture and studied this scripture through sermons, Sunday school, and Bible studies. Nicodemus is an interesting character who seems complex. I mean, after all, he's a hero, he's a coward, and a follower of Jesus. He's also known to be a religious leader and wise man, and he was a Pharisee. And he's talking to Jesus. But most of all, in this passage, Nicodemus presents us with a learning opportunity, and I'm not sure we always take that opportunity to learn. So I would like to demonstrate that with a letter that I wrote to him. We're going to do things a little different this morning, but I want you to focus on this letter and see what you think. And this gives me a chance to sit. So Jim was very kind to let me do that. But think, see what you think of this. "Dear Nicodemus, I admire you. I don't know much about you, but it seems to me you have a good heart. Clearly you are a religious leader and a wise man. I'm writing you 2,000 years after you had this conversation with Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus, which means I follow the holy rabbi you were talking to that night. Perhaps you would laugh if you heard all of the ways many followers of Jesus talk about this conversation you had with him. All too often, we hear how much you didn't get from Jesus' message, how you didn't know this or that, how you were afraid and had to hide under the cover of darkness to talk to Jesus, how you needed to learn something or you were confusing things, not quite getting what was necessary to know, especially because of your own position as a religious leader. We judge you were not open-minded about new ideas and new ways and you should definitely have known better about key things in that conversation. Unfortunately, we think we're as smart as Jesus was, and all too often we find out that we're learning the same way Nicodemus did. That being said, I confess I really admire you went to see Jesus during the night. If it was because you were embarrassed or afraid of what other people would say, truth is, you're just like many of us. Oftentimes we're afraid to ask questions in the open, and we go under the cover of darkness. I've done that too, going to people to ask about things that I should have known. I have a friend that I went to and asked him a question, and I thought that, you know, after I asked it, if I had just waited a little longer, I probably would have processed and come out with the answer. But some of the questions I asked him were even rude or ridiculous. But I trusted him, and he was so kind to me. He taught me so much. Perhaps when I left, he was saying to himself, I thought Wes knew better. You know, just like Jesus said to you. Nicodemus, you were very humble calling Jesus a rabbi. Even when Jesus was a very controversial and disputed figure in your time, you honored him. Also, the questions you asked were actually very good. Surely this is a sign of your wisdom and humble attitude. Fact is, your questions helped us in the here and now to understand Jesus better. Your concern about being born and belonging have been fundamental to the Christian spiritual and material life. Now, here is my take on your conversation with Jesus. Our birth is just as much a spiritual event as it is a material one. For there is no distinction between the two realms. Isn't that right? The same way above and below are also distinctive parts of the same reality. One is not more important than the other, since they complement each other. In the same way, our mothers' wombs carry both the spirit of life and the waters of life. Is that not true? For followers of Jesus, without water, there is no material birth or spiritual rebirth. Flesh and spirit are woven into the same body, all wet by so much water. Human and natural bodies, water and spirit bodies, all are shaped in the soil. When we read your conversation with Jesus on the day the followers of Jesus celebrate the Trinity, you wouldn't believe what that group of people following Jesus became, Nicodemus. We call it church. Amazing things were done by this church, and lots of atrocities too. Also, so much happened to your own people. Sorry, I don't have much time to write about all of that. Oh yeah, I mentioned the Trinity, Nicodemus. This is a Christian belief where God is one in three persons, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You would think this is craziness, but for followers of Jesus, it is how God moves, relates, dances, and manifests God's self in the world, always through relations. In many ways, the Trinity is an entanglement that keeps unfolding back and forth, a sign and metaphor for our own ways of living together, being different, and yet being a part of the same life. God, human, other beings, the earth, the rivers and oceans, the air, everything is a big relation of deep belonging and entanglements. In other words, I cannot understand God if I do not know the earth. I cannot understand human beings outside of the life of other beings, animals, vegetables, minerals. The same way the Spirit cannot be understood without water. Thus, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Redeemer of this world, is also the Spirit of God, fully alive in the natural world, which is not to be understood apart from the cultural world. For nature and culture are one thing, just like the Trinity. Well, I must wrap up my letter to you, but I want to mention something Jesus said to you at the end because it became one of the most well-known sayings of Jesus, namely, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Because in him, we may not perish, but have eternal life. This scripture has been used to save people spiritually from their sins, but I think it is time for us to understand the eternal life promised by Jesus has to do with the life we live now. The eternal life promised by Jesus that comes through the presence of the Spirit can only be understood if it is fully drenched in the waters of our world and the wombs of our mothers. Thus, there is eternity in every river and in all the oceans, as there is eternity in the work of the Spirit and in the love of God. For the Spirit of God is also made of water. Why am I saying that? Because, Nicodemus, our world is running out of water right now. So much so, Wall Street, that is, the people and big corporations controlling the financial life of the world, are now investing in water. What does that say to you, that people are investing in water? Something that we used to have plenty of. We hear our rivers are drying up and the ice caps are melting. Perhaps this is because the Spirit is lacking in our world. It would make sense when the Spirit is lacking in our world, the water starts to disappear as well, because they're so much a part of each other. Nicodemus, we need to care for the water so the Spirit can come back. I believe we must start to relate the life of the Trinity, that is, the life of God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, with the life of earth and all forms of life, so we can relate together, dance together, live together without division. More than ever, we need to gain a new awareness of the Spirit as well as of the water, so we can finally understand the eternal love of God for the world. And I would say to Nicodemus in this letter that I didn't even add to this, when we talk about water, we talk about baptism. When we talk about water and you mothers gave birth, one of the things I heard from my spouse is, my water broke. Is that not true? My water broke, and what came? Life. It's all tied together. Well, so I ended this and said, more than ever, we need to gain a new awareness of the Spirit, very sincerely. Then, a P.S. Nicodemus, I know there was strife during your time, Romans against Jews. I have no doubt you and your fellow Jews prayed for those who fought and died to free the Jewish nation from oppression. Today we are in prayer for those who fought for our nation and died to keep us a free country. Please join us in praying for those brave souls who gave all. Again, very sincerely. In this scripture, we like to pretend that we know more than Nicodemus. How can Nicodemus be so dumb? Fact is, the man wasn't dumb. The questions he asked educated us. Had he not asked those questions, we probably would not know what we know today about Jesus, about birth and rebirth and the Spirit. Nicodemus may have gone under the cover of darkness, but he shed light to you and me just by having that conversation. So I want you to think about Nicodemus, and what letter would you write to him? What would you say about this scripture? Because all too often what we do is we come back and we say, for God so loved the world. If you heard Jim read, there's a whole lot more before that ever comes along. There are lots of questions, and we have lots of questions as Christians, and we're still learning, and we're still asking those questions. But what we know is life is all together. We're all human beings, are we not? We all came from a womb, did we not? And what is it you can't do without? Well, you know, you can go without eating for quite some time, but you can't go without water. The water ties us together. We all need it. And what Jesus tells Nicodemus is, we need that water from heaven. We need that Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Because we go together. Remember what Paul said? Our bodies are temples. That's where the Lord resides, is in us. Can't make it any clearer than that. We're part of each other. We're part of this community. We're part of the world. And that's what we do, is to relate to one another and spread the gospel and let people know that they're loved by God. And that Spirit can actually help prevent days like Memorial Day. Swords into plowshares, anybody? Peace on earth, don't we sing that every Christmas? What if we actively seek that? What if we become part of that water, of that Spirit of peace? Think about a letter that you would write to Nicodemus and see what all you can include in a letter that you read from that scripture. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come together today, oftentimes we come really not understanding. We like to think that we understand everything. We like to think that we know more than the people in Scripture who were questioning Jesus. The truth is, Lord, it's their questions that enlighten us. It's their love of wanting to know that helps us to know and understand. And we give you thanks for your Son who enlightened us most of all, who brought His Spirit into this world and fills each and every one of us. Be with us and guide us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.